Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite TV shows. We are an inclusive recap show.
Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds. My name is Neve, a.k.a. Watch Me Neve, and I'm here with my boy, Jess.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neves, a.k.a. Watch With Neves, and I'm here with my co-host Jeff, a.k.a. DJ A-Town. What up?
You're bringing back like the millennial vibes, man. Like, I love it.
Yo, this Super Bowl was for the millennials, bro. Usher, bro.
He killed it.
Some of those songs really brought back some memories, and I was just like, damn, I get it.
I know. We started singing You Got It Bad. I'm like, oh, shit.
My boo. Yeah. Like, yo, those were classics. Oh, man. But before we get into the Super Bowl, current events, and Abbott Elementary, I want to introduce you to a good friend of mine. Her name is Karen. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name is Karen. As Anib mentioned, I am a fifth grade elementary school teacher. And so I'm a big fan of Abbott Elementary, and I look forward to talking about it here today.
Awesome. Ooh, Abbott Elementary. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's a mouthful. It premiered last week, and it was a pretty interesting episode, so we can't wait to get into it. But before that, we did have a giant football game, the Super Bowl. Did you guys watch it?
Yep.
What kind of question is that?
Listen, I don't know. Sometimes people don't watch it. I can't just assume.
I didn't watch most of it.
Yeah. It was very interesting. The game was very exciting, at least at the very end. The end was insanely exciting. People do say that the NFL is scripted like a wrestling match. Well, what do you think of that, Jazz?
I mean, it's kind of hard to script 20 people doing plays back and forth like that, but...
I don't believe it either, but it's very convenient that the whole Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce story ended with a little bow on it. And they think because of that, Taylor was bringing in a lot of viewers. And because of that, her team won.
Okay, let me ask you something. Did either of you predict Taylor Swift would get engaged at the end of the Super Bowl?
I did not predict that it would happen, but like I would not have been totally surprised if it did.
Yeah, if it did, then I'd believe it's scripted.
Yeah. It would be.
That makes sense.
I get it. What did you guys think of some of the commercials during the Super Bowl?
Karen, go ahead first.
Definitely, you know, very interesting which concepts and products were highlighted, which were not, and just the irony of the Super Bowl even happening as so many world events were going on at the same time.
Yeah.
And just the contrast of that is baffling.
It's crazy. And I think people mentioned online that the Israel was bombing Rafah while the Super Bowl was going on. Very convenient for them. So that was very interesting. People said there was a commercial by Israel at the Super Bowl. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Did you see it, Jack?
I didn't watch most of the Super Bowl, so I couldn't tell you.
I didn't see it, but I was eating burgers, and I don't know if I went to the room to eat a burger or something, or maybe
I was in and out watching it, so I wasn't sure if perhaps I missed it. I did see the Dunkin' Donuts one though, but I didn't.
That was one of the good ones, yeah.
The Ben Affleck and
Matt Damon. Yeah, I did catch that one.
That was solid. Also, I saw the Deadpool trailer, which I thought was pretty solid, but they only showed a little bit of it during Super Bowl. You have to go online to watch the whole thing, but it was a phenomenal trailer. It looks like Deadpool is finally bringing the X-Men into the MCU, and it feels like a real multiverse of madness, not the fake multiverse of madness that Doctor Strange was.
It's definitely something, and I'm kind of hyped about it.
I'm a little hyped about it too.
When is it coming out? Did they mention?
I think this summer. I think Deadpool comes out summer, July 26th or something like that.
That sounds like the perfect summer movie.
Yeah. Also, yeah. The MCU is not dropping any movies this year other than Deadpool and Madam Web, if you count Madam Web.
Is that MCU? Because I know it's Sony. So
it's Sony. It's Marvel. It's not MCU.
Yeah. Right. Man. Yeah.
But speaking of which, bro, do you know about the drama that Dakota Johnson is going through?
Surprise me.
So Dakota Johnson, who's Madam Web in the Madam Web movie, she's also the girl from 40, not 40, what is it called?
50 Shades of Grey. 50
Shades of Grey.
40 Shades of Grey.
The discount. It's a discount version.
Leave trying to act all innocent here. Shitty.
I really didn't know what that movie was called. I thought it was 40 Shades of Grey. I don't know. But yes.
Now it's going to forever be 40 Shades.
Just now I know it's a script.
You might as well say 40 Shades of like purple. Just say that.
I know. So she left her talent agency, which is WME, because they kind of tricked her into doing Madam Web. Because she thought that she was doing a movie that was going to be in the MCU. They literally tricked her into thinking that she was going to be in the MCU only to realize that this is a Sony movie. It just happened to be part of Marvel. It's not the MCU. But she's not the only one they did it to. They also did it to Matt Smith. Matt Smith said he talked to Karen Gillan, who convinced him to do the movie because they thought it was going to be a Marvel movie. And then also Sydney Sweeney also thought that she was doing a Marvel movie. So like all these people have been tricked by Sony and their talent agencies into working on these terrible movies because they thought it would make them part of the MCU. So even if their movie sucked, they could be brought into another movie or a TV show. So there would be so much more like income for them to do that. But no, they're actually just making really shitty movies.
I mean, do I want to feel bad? Like, people read your contracts. Come on. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, the contract wouldn't say you're part of the MCU. It just says Marvel. And you would just assume you have to understand, these actors don't know anything about like Marvel and what's MCU and what's DC. They don't know about any of these things. So sure. They need like a nerd to tell them.
Agent should.
No, I don't even think their agent does.
No, that's their fault. They should know better.
That's probably why she left, though. She left the agency.
Okay, fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that as a result of the Super Bowl ads, those products or messages have an immediate positive influence? Or is it more just to say, look, we promoted our insert, whatever they promoted during the Super Bowl?
I think it gets a lot of eyes on the product or whatever it is. So if it's not a well-known product, it definitely puts a lot of eyes in it. But like, I don't think Temu is going to be like an amazing company. Like,
also, that's not how you pronounce it, apparently.
I know. I thought it was Temu the whole time, but apparently it's
like, did everyone go to Dunkin' Donuts today? Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'd just be curious about the stats on that.
I think it's just like word of mouth, people talking about it. But like, I feel like for a company like Temu, whatever it's called, it tricks people into thinking it's legit. They're like, yo, they can afford a Super Bowl commercial. They might be a legit company when they're really just like the Wish.com of Wish.com. Like, they're just...
I've never ordered from there. I have no idea the legitimacy of their...
Yeah, people's parents and grandparents order from theirs because they don't know better.
They had like three... I think they had like three advertisements, right?
Yeah, three advertisements. Shop like a billionaire with a thing. And I'm just like, whoa, Temu, they got some deep pockets.
Yeah.
Clearly. Yeah.
I mean, they were picking people off. They might as well like use that one for something productive for them, I guess.
Yeah.
I think there's definitely been question about their, you know, legitimacy and the quality of their products. As people have definitely asked like, oh, have you ordered from there? And maybe this is their way of, you know, finally addressing that.
I mean, I felt the same way about Alibaba back when Alibaba was like,
or even Shein was like that too for a while.
Yeah. So I don't know. Ruzzy's in the comment. He says TB12 is the real goat. don't know what that means.
Yes, but like he's gone now, people. Come on. He's talking about Tom Brady.
Oh, Tom Brady. Listen, have you guys seen the Eli Manning?
He's also in Duncan, so we'll give that to him.
Have you seen the Eli Manning diss track for Tom Brady where he's like in a football stadium?
Yes.
And he's like doing a diss rhyme.
Yeah. And he's like, but I beat him twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, Tom Brady is the GOAT. Nice. Lost 2 Super Bowls. I beat him twice. Like, everyone's like, ah.
He's going to run on that for the rest of his life. Like
he should.
Yes, as he's earned the right to do, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. But back to the WME stuff, that agency is also the same agency that's thinking about dropping Melissa Barrera for all her support for Palestine. So that's really shady. Sorry. And here's the irony in that. Here's the irony in that. That agency also represents Amy Schumer. So, like, Amy Schumer gets a pass for, like, saying all that shit that she does. And Melissa Barrera is getting dropped simply because she listed a donation link. That's it. Just a donation link is all she posted. And that's what they're going after her for. It's insane, bro. This is insane.
It's no very, very scary. I think that's
what do you mean, no comment, Jad? You should definitely have a comment.
Trust me, I can't have comments. If I go off, we'll get canceled.
Listen, I already lost 140,000 followers on my TikTok. I don't give a fuck anymore.
I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah, you don't want to lose your like 200 followers.
Yes, all 200 of them.
Hey, don't be elitist here.
I'm not elitist. I have less than him. Technically, I can say that because I have less followers than Jasmine.
Well, excuse me, me and my like 37 followers. Okay.
Listen, you don't have 37 followers. I know you have way more.
I don't even know how many I have. Who cares? Doesn't matter.
I know. But listen, I can say that shit now because now I'm poor. I have a poor amount of followers.
Because your currency is followers?
Yes, yes. I have no clout.
Let's switch that mindset.
I have no clout. I used to get invited to like big parties. They've all stopped.
Listen, iftars are not big parties, my friend.
No, I meant like red carpets, man. I used to go. Those red carpets just happened this week for the Bob Marley movie and a few others. I was like, I remember when I used to go to those.
I set you up for that humble brag. You're welcome.
All right. But yeah, the Deadpool trailer. What did you guys? Did we already talk about that? No, yeah. We did. Okay.
You mentioned it. I didn't see it, but you mentioned
it. Yeah, 2024 July. Yeah, we're hyped for it.
It looked really good. The TVA is involved, so it definitely looked like they're going to integrate a little bit of Loki into this. So I'm really, really excited. And then we see our first look at Hugh Jackman as Wolverine once again. Amazing. This guy's been playing Wolverine for 25 years.
So long.
Insane,
yeah.
Bro. Insane.
What about Beyonce dropping an album?
Yeah.
Neves doesn't care about that stuff.
I know.
I'm
bringing a little bit of that to your show. Hope that's cool.
Oh, yeah, I love it. No, I'm a big fan of Beyonce because, you know, she's from Houston. I'm from Houston. So,
oh, okay.
Bear.
Did you hear her new song? It's got a country vibe to it.
Yeah, 16 Carriages?
Yeah. No. Texas Hold'em, right? Actually,
that's the other one.
Is that the name of the song?
Yeah, she dropped two of them. And so,
okay. I only heard Texas Hold'em. So what's the other one?
16 Carriages.
Got it. Is it good? Good? Would you recommend it?
I mean, I'm biased. Like, it doesn't matter what I say. I'm going to say it's good. Like,
I got you.
Yeah.
I understand. I just thought it was really cool the way that she announced it.
Yeah. And a country album from her, like, the shade she's throwing at like the award shows, like, yes,
the Grammy.
I dare you to pass me up for album of the year again. Like,
yeah, she's gonna find her avenue to do what she needs to do, and she's gonna do it silently but powerfully. And I really respect that.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it.
Yes.
So, is this her trying to break the internet because she couldn't in her commercial?
She could break the internet any day,
bro.
Yeah,
there.
Have you seen the Beehive? Like, my god, they're
obsessed. I don't fuck with the Beehive, and I don't fuck with the
Swifties.
The Swifties. I don't mess with them, man.
Know what they're calling Usher's crew?
Usher board?
Oh, please.
Yeah, Usher board.
The Usher board.
Usher board.
Does Usher have enough fans to be have like, a calling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
I feel like this idea of stands is kind of like very new. So I don't know if Usher has that big fun, but he probably does.
According to TikTok, he's got an Usher board.
Fair. Also, something cool. I mean, since we're talking about Deadpool and Marvel, the Marvels has dropped on Disney Plus, and it is the number one movie on Disney Plus. And articles have been coming out saying that, like, this movie deserved better. So the switch up is wild right now.
Where were people like 5 months ago when it came out? Like,
they let all the freaking nerds and the haters convince them that it was a bad movie, and everyone watched it on Disney Plus once it was free to watch, and they're all like, whoa, this movie isn't half bad, it's pretty good.
Ugh, I hate people. Like,
I know.
So dumb.
The switch up was wild. The switch up was wild. And then finally, the last piece of current event news is Henry Cavill, who plays Superman, says that he doesn't like sex scenes in movie. He's saying he's over it. And I'm like, good for you, brother Henry. He wants to keep these movies halal. I respect that. I respect that. He doesn't want sex scenes in movies, which is fair because they probably make him do so many.
Yeah, he's probably tired of it. I'm actually really excited for his Warhammer 40,000 project. Like,
that's going to be cool. And I know he's like really
nerd. Yeah, like, he's really into it. I was like, yes. Yes, make it the best thing you've ever done, man. Like, I'm here for it.
That's going to be cool. So I'm really, really excited about that. But let's get into what we came here to talk about, and that is Abbott Elementary, probably one of the best shows that have come out since Modern Family, I believe. It's like that had the like every single award show. It had everyone talking about it for years. And then when that show went off, it left a vacuum, and Abbott Elementary popped out of nowhere and just took it. It took the baton, and I think it's doing really, really well. Quinta Brunson is pro-Palestine, so she posted about the ceasefire, so good for her. Hey. Even though I think two other people on the show are not. I think it was, what was her name? Cementi?
One of the teachers?
One of the teachers, yeah. Cementi. I believe she is on the opposite end of the spectrum. But we got Quinta, who is the showrunner, and it's her show. So I think that's good. But yeah, I really, really love this show. I think it's really good. I love the fact that they talk about West Philly, which, you know, is very, very predominantly Black Muslims, which is interesting because I feel like they should show that a little bit more. But you do see a bunch of, like, young kids in there wearing hijab from here and there, which I think is really cool because you can't have a show about West Philly without showing Muslims because it's such a big population there. Mm-hmm. So I love that for the show. What are your thoughts about the show, Karen?
I absolutely am a huge fan. I don't know if you got to hear Trevor Noah's podcast where she was a guest on there. And she talked a little bit about her creative process, and she talks a little bit about how she came to developing the show. And something I really appreciated that she said is, you know, she gets a lot of course, you know, compliments and feedback and even suggestions for what she should do and cover on her show. And a lot of people will say that she should cover, you know, real world struggles like school shootings and things like that. And her response, I really appreciated because she shared how, you know, ultimately it's a creative process. And if you were, let's say, if you had a child who was, you know, drawing a picture, you wouldn't go up to the child and say, well, no, now you have to draw this. Now you should draw this. You kind of let the child create what they're going to create authentically from their own vision. And that's kind of what she sees her show as, is her creative process and her producing and creating what she sees. And she tries not to let others' vision sway her too much, which I think is really, I really respect that. And as an educator, like, the satire and the subtle kind of, I don't know if digs is the right word, but the subtle way that she supports and shows what it really is like to be an educator, but makes it light and humorous and funny, like Ava, the principal, absolutely, like, absolutely wild and love her. She's such a character and so animated, but, you know, there's truth behind a lot of what they show. So, for example, in the season premiere of season three, right?
Yeah, season three.
Season three, how, you know, they show her being real. You know, she went to Harvard, even though she just used their Wi-Fi.
I love how it's with Ava. She blinged out the A-V-A in Harvard. And so it just says Ava.
They need to make that merch because I will 100% purchase it immediately. But yeah, I mean, the way that they show her being very proper and poised in a certain environment, especially when the district was around. Yeah. And then but ultimately by the end of the episode, she goes back to like her real roots and who she really is. As educators, we feel that way sometimes when administrators become administrators and are no longer teachers. Sometimes it creates a disconnect between the teachers and the administrators. And we feel like, hey, don't you remember what it's like to be a teacher? Like the things you're asking are not always possible or given the circumstances realistic. So they made it their version of that, but and more fun and cultured, but it was just, it's very relatable as an educator. And just all the different really smart ways that she has created those relatable moments, even just the way that they interact with students. And when she, in this last episode, what's her name? Not Ava, Janine. I couldn't think of her name for a minute. Janine decides to go work for the district as well, having to make that choice of, you know, kind of having to leave your current students in order to go seek better opportunities for yourself, because unfortunately there's no in between. And so I can go on and on about it. There were so many moments like that I was like, oh, that happens too. And that happens as well. Even like when they just threw iPads at them, they gave them more iPads and technology, like it's
gonna no chargers.
Yeah, that was so real. The amount of times students will come to me and say, I don't have my charger. My Chromebook is dead. I forgot the case. I have the charger, but it's the wrong charger. I have the wire, but it's not working. All day, every day. So it was so accurate and relatable, but also the idea that technology is going to do the teaching for you, and it's just not reality. Technology is wonderful. We need it. It's a tool, and it's a really useful tool, but sometimes it's also a hindrance. So I like that she acknowledged that too. And it's very relevant. It's very current. Those are issues we're dealing with today. So I really appreciate the narrative that's being presented in an entertaining way.
Yeah, I definitely feel like some of that stuff is real, because there's a scene where she's like, one of the teacher teaches cursive, and they're like, yep, no longer teaching cursive. It's not in the curriculum anymore. Correct. Now these kids, Gen Alpha, none of them will know how to write in cursive.
Unless they're being taught at home or they watch a TikTok about it. No.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
One of the characters that I really love is my favorite, is the janitor. I think he's so funny. He cracks me up. And I love how they did career day.
Yeah.
And everyone had these amazing careers. And then he was just a janitor. And he talked about all the jobs that he's had in the past in his life. And all the kids were just like loving it and gassing him up. I love that. That was so good.
And it's so important, because the custodians are everything. They do everything. They clean up for us, they organize for us, they fix broken desks and refurbish old furniture, and they make our job possible. So it's 100%, I think, her subtle way of paying homage to them, as she should.
Yeah. My favorite one is when they do a Halloween episode and one of the kids dressed up as the janitor. Yeah. It was so funny. And he even became mature, and he was like trying to convince the kid who stole all the candy to give it back.
Wasn't there an episode last season where he gave like professional development classes online or something?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember, but it was something like that. Yeah. And then I really like the dynamic between the teachers and their friendship, mm-hmm. and how they show the teachers' lives outside of school and the importance of developing your own identity, doing your own thing, but also really you're raising kids together. You're right. So really having that support system. Another thing that really resonated with me is it seems that whenever there's a new idea put out, the immediate reaction or the first reactions, I was like, no, that's not going to work. No, that's not gonna work. No, you can't do that. And I don't think that's specific to education. That probably happens a lot of.
I like how Ava just like, it's not going to work because you said it.
But believe it or not, that can happen and does happen in schools, right?
Yeah.
Depending on the dynamics of the staff and administration. But I really like that part as well, because it's very true. I feel like that's human nature. Maybe to the first reactions, I was like, nope, these are all the reasons it's not going to work. But the message to me in that was just put your head down and do it anyway, keep going. And then you have to kind of just show it through your actions.
Fair. I really do like that too. What do you think about the romance part of it with Janine and Mr. Eddie?
Gregory?
Yeah.
What do you mean in terms of
like, do you enjoy that part of the show? Or
I mean, as a viewer of a show, yeah, of course, right? You're rooting for them, and it seems like, you know, they're a good match. I don't think that's something that really is commonplace in the work in schools as much as I think people like to narrate. It happens, of course. We've got a few teachers that are married to each other, but I don't think I've been teaching for what, over 15 years, and that's not something that's happened in front of me. Like when I got to the school, they were already married. So that's not something I think that's as commonplace for me. I can only speak from my experience, but as far as a viewer though, absolutely. I'm like, I'm rooting for them, but of course they're going to do the slow burn. And
yeah. What do you think about them? You know, two trains just passing by. Cause now she wanted to have a relationship with him. And he was like, no, I kind of put a period on that and moved on. And
I don't think he did, but I think he's going to say that he did, because that's how the narrative has to go in order for there to be more episodes.
fair.
I did think the whole field trip, that was inappropriate, I thought, but it's just a show.
Wait, why would the field trip inappropriate? I don't remember. Just because they told each other they liked each other?
Well, yeah, because they were like with their students and they were technically working. And they were responsible for certain kids at the time, if I'm remembering those episodes correctly. It happened while they were on the field trip, right? Was it after?
I don't know if it was a field trip or a conference. I thought it was a conference they went to.
Wasn't it when they had the kids that had like a sleepover at a museum or something?
Yeah, they did that. But I think when they actually told each other they liked each other, they were at a conference.
Oh,
remember? Yeah. It was like a teacher's conference, and all the teachers went to like Atlantic City or something like that, and they got like pens and all this like fun stuff. And then they were in some kind of greenhouse, and then I think they told each other. I may be remembering it wrong, but yeah. I may be remembering it wrong too,
so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that like Gregory's character, I feel like, is so sweet, and you can tell he's like got a genuine, it seems like he's a genuine, you know, genuine heart. He really cares for the kids and he genuinely wants to do right by them. So I think that's, you can appreciate that. And same for her. I think she means well. She really wants to do good in this world.
What do you think about Gregory flexing his muscles to get Ava?
When I watched that, I cringed a little bit. I'm like, this what? You would be fired immediately. Like, you have to do a whole training over the summer called Safe Schools. If I so much as look at you inappropriately, like, it's a problem. So absolutely not. Please. I mean, as a viewer.
Sure.
I'm okay. I'm good. But like, in terms of like the reality of that. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Interesting.
I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with Gregory, because he came to that school to be a principal.
A principal, yeah.
Right, and then became a teacher. And then it looked like he still wanted to be principal. But now Ava is a good principal. So he's kind of like just doing teaching. So
she's not really a good principal. Like she's going, she's reverted back.
Yeah, she's reverting back. Yeah.
And he did want to be a principal. And I wasn't sure why him liking Janine would change that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if that is what factored in. I wasn't quite sure what happened there, but maybe it'll come up in the next few episodes.
But it looked like he decided to stay because of Janine, right? That was the reason he decided to stay and be a teacher instead of moving on to a different job.
But now she's moved on, so I wonder what that's going to mean for him.
I think
think about them as a couple? What do you think about?
I like them. I like them a lot. And like, there's like memes and stuff about them where like, it's like, you can tell this romance is written by a woman instead of written by a man, because he'll say stuff that like, you don't really know how much it means to people. But there's this line where he goes like, she tells him, recommend some show to him. And then he watches it. And then she's surprised that he watched it. He goes, yeah, of course. I want to know.
Those subtle
like.
Things make a very big difference, because it makes you feel like you're seen and you're heard. And I think we really undervalue what that means to anybody, to feel like you're heard and that you're seen. And that ultimately, isn't that what we all want?
Yeah, always. No, totally. That's a big thing for me. If I ever recommend something to somebody and they actually go and do it, I'm just like, whoa, this person cares. This person cares about me. Oh my God.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah,
it's really cool. I do like the way their romance is written, and I get it. They gotta you know, stretch it out. They can't just have it in the third season and just end.
Yeah, and there's also something very, I don't know, respectable about it. I like that it's still very, I don't know, there's a modesty about the way they're interacting with each other, and I appreciate that too. You know, short of the whole potentially making out at a field trip with kids around. Potentially. Yeah, potentially.
Fair, fair. No, I think it's really, really cool. So Janine is now working for the district, and mm-hmm. I feel like they're sowing a little bit of that, hey, she's going to miss being a teacher. She's going to miss the classroom. She's going to miss her children. Yeah. And I think that's probably going to be par for the course. What are your thoughts about that? Would you ever go into some kind of admin role or district role and leave teaching behind?
I really appreciate that question.
Yeah, I was going to say. That's a good question.
It's a great question, and I really appreciate it.
That's what I do. Sorry, I ruined it.
Don't ruin it. I retract my former statement. I absolutely think I will always want to teach children. I think I will always want to work with them. I have, over the years, been asked by a few people about, you know, what I consider being an administrator. Absolutely not. I don't want to be an administrator because I think the system itself needs to be changed. I don't want to I don't want to continue the system or working in it as it is. If an opportunity arises that would allow me to change the system in the ways I think it needs to be, and that would require me to be in an administrative role, then I would consider it. But for now, I absolutely love working with the kids. And I was very fortunate last year to get a Fulbright scholarship. So after that experience, I was able to teach in Uruguay, South America, and it just really rejuvenated my spirit and soul and my philosophy. And I want to use what I learned there to, you know, further what I think is my purpose. And I hope to use that to, whether it's speaking at schools or providing professional development, that I would like to do, because I do think I have experience. And I do think that diversity and inclusion is preached, but it's not often actually practiced, because what I've learned is diversity and inclusion means, as long as it's within what the people in power are comfortable with being diverse, and as long as the people in power feel
snaps,
as long as it's not too diverse from what they deem acceptable or too inclusive from what they think is appropriate. And I think that needs to shift. And so that's kind of where I see myself moving. But I always want to be rooted with kids, like, because I think they, first of all, they keep me young, and they keep me, and I don't mean in terms of chronological age, I just mean in terms of my mindset, because kids they're just so smart, and they're so creative, and they're willing, right? They're willing. And so many adults are like, no, I don't want to do that. I can't do that. All the roadblocks appear first, whereas with kids, it's, all right, I'll try it.
Wow, very cool. People in the comments are showing you a lot of love right now. Chill Goza is saying, I love her takes. She's also a teacher, so she's saying she really likes all the stuff you're saying. Very cool. You talked a little bit about diversity and inclusion. You talked a little bit about, like, trying to change stuff. But you've actually written a book, and I feel like that's your own way of kind of doing that. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely, Ken. And look, I just so happen to have it here with me.
get it in the frame. Make sure people can
totally
see it.
This was totally planned. I'm not even going to pretend. Yes, it's right here. I don't know if you see it or not. It's called Saval. In Urdu, that means to question. And so I basically wrote this book for so many reasons, but to keep it brief, I wrote it out of necessity, because as an educator, I found that a lot of the questions that I wanted to ask and a lot of the analysis I wanted to do with my students, I teach ELA, so English Language Arts, I wasn't able to do for X amount of reasons, or there were no resources available in the way that I wanted them to be. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to have to write what I want to be able to say and ask. And what I think is a unique part of my book, and I can show it to you, is that within the chapters, I included questions to ask the students. I wrote this in with students in mind. I picture like a book club happening and kids are sitting and talking. And I think sometimes teachers fear inconsistencies between classes. So if I'm teaching this book, is my group of students going to get the same message as another group because I'm a person of color versus someone who's not? And that's a very valid, you know, mindset. But with the questions already embedded in the book, I feel like it gives a certain uniformity to the questioning. The answers should not be uniform, because that should be authentic from the students. Mm-hmm. But my hope is at least the questions will be uniform, so the discussion can be rich and diverse and in depth to the degree that I think it will elicit more authentic answers from kids. So it's essentially about a sixth grade girl. She's Pakistani American and she was homeschooled her whole life. And then she goes to school. Finally, she had lost her younger brother who passed away. And that's why she was homeschooled, because her mom didn't want her to go to school out of being overprotective. And that was inspired by my nephew who passed. And I took a lot of that emotion and put it into here. Mm. And she then, you know, develops a friendship with the Jewish girl, and then a Palestinian boy comes into the school, and the questions of racism, systemic racism, biases that come up within their interactions with each other, and how she starts to question, you know, loyalty, and how do you figure out who you are when nobody has asked you or nobody has given you opportunity to learn about your own background in an American school. So that's just a little bit about the book.
Wow. Yeah, Jazz is gonna buy it right now.
Actually, I am. Where can I buy it?
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks.
No, he's not joking. He needs the link. He's gonna buy it right now.
Oh, it's on Amazon. It's on Amazon. If you just type in Saval and my name, it should come up.
Do it, Jazz. Drop the link in the chat.
Thank you.
Chil Goza says, you sound like an inspiring person.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Got some cool stuff. Jazz has found it already.
Yeah, there it is.
Saval, the eye in racism.
Oh, wait. You ever see all my data and whatnot?
She's saying, please share the title again. We'll love to support. Jazz, can you put the link and the title in the chat and I'll share it in the...
I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I'll share it in the Instagram.
Give me a second.
No, I want to see all that data.
Please. Okay, fine, there. That's all you're going to get.
Please share your address and your credit card information.
You're not seeing that. My address is public. It's whatever. But you're not going to see the other thing.
Very cool. It's available on Kindle also, right?
Yeah. You can download it on your Kindle as well.
Yeah. So you can get it on Kindle. You can get it in the actual book. If you're a teacher, definitely check it out. Jav just dropped the link in the that doesn't really help you guys.
Right, it helps you if you're on YouTube or Twitch. I guess we could do link in bio on our Instagram later.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the bio of our Instagram and then I'll put it.
This is such influencer language.
I know.
Yeah, right?
My bio.
we'll put it on there. I don't know. I can't right click and copy, unfortunately. Boo.
Never mind. That's not influencer language.
That's true.
I can't right click. I can't paste.
I can't right click and paste.
Tell me you're a millennial.
I know. I'm definitely a millennial.
Send to your WhatsApp.
Oh, yeah. Send it to me on WhatsApp. Well, that's on my phone. That doesn't really help me. Hold on. I will do it right now. Let me go to Amazon real quick.
Fine. You know what? I will send to your email because you're old.
I'm not old. Hold on.
Experience.
S-A-A-V-A-L. Saval, right?
S-A-V-A-A-L. Correct. Correct. And it's the I in racism. And the reason it's the I in racism is because I hope to write more books that spell out the word racism. This one focuses on the I because it focuses on how we all play a role in solving, not completely solving, but
very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I just dropped the link in the Instagram. You guys have it. Feel free. It's awesome. Only $2.99. That's nothing. It's not even like a latte. So
that's the Kindle price. Yeah, no, the paperback's like $7.99.
That's the Kindle one. Yeah.
The Kindle price. Yeah, yeah. Still.
Also, $7.99, solid.
$7.99 is nothing. I mean,
guys, I can make it more expensive.
That's
price it higher.
No. My hope is eventually to also give percentage of the proceeds to Palestine. So
then definitely price it higher. Get to $9. Like easy. 20%.
$9.99. That's what you got to do.
Confidence to get to that.
Listen, it's $9.99, but if you buy it now with Salam Nerds at the promo code. No, I'm just kidding.
We should give them a coupon.
I want to give them a coupon, a Salam Nerds coupon.
I've always wanted to be one of those influencers. Like, if you use code Geran, you get 20% off.
Do it. Do it now.
Not yet. No, we're not. I'm not an influencer. No.
All right. It looks like some people in the comments are very happy that we share the link. They're going to go check it out. This is awesome.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
thank you for sharing. And I already have this book on Kindle. I think I already bought it
when you first
mentioned it.
How do you know that?
I think it tells you.
How did Garen know that? Like, it's like, how you bought on Kindle. You bought it on Kindle, like, you know. Like,
I told her, I think.
He told me because I was roasting him for not buying an actual copy.
I didn't buy an actual copy.
He's like,
I should
buy an actual copy. On Kindle. I was like,
I should buy an actual copy. I'm going to go and buy an actual copy. To
all
be
of my real friends have the actual copy.
Mm-hmm. I know. But I bought it super early. I don't even think the copy was available back then.
That's possible.
Yeah, I bought it like the first day you mentioned it. See, look at a great friend I am. It's so good.
Humble brag.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the show. It was fun talking about Abbott Elementary. Yeah. We really love your book. I love your perspective as a teacher. I think it's really cool. This was a fun episode. Let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on Instagram at Garen Masood. That's my personal Instagram. I have a teacher Instagram. If you're an educator and want to like link up or connect in terms of lesson planning, that's at Miss Masood, MissMasud. Yeah, shoot me a message and I would love to chat with you.
Very cool. Very cool. I love everything about that. And I'm really, really excited. And I'm going to go buy a hardcover of this book with the Salam Nerd Podcast. Well, actually, no, because the thing is, like, I bought it for myself. But then I'm like, my niece is the one who needs to read it. She's not going on a Kindle.
So I don't think she can read this either yet. How old is she?
She's 5.
Yeah, no, it's going to be this is more for 5th or 6th graders. So.
Someone can read it to her.
No,
you think she's
going
to understand systemic racism?
I think she can.
Okay.
She understands. She understands the prejudice that's involved in cars too. So she can understand the prejudice.
Actually, you know what? I shouldn't be biased because the message of the story is essentially you can talk to kids about difficult topics. So
There you go. Ka-chow. That's a little cars reference.
Ka-chow?
Yeah, ka-chow. You don't know
Lightning McQueen.
Lightning McQueen, he says ka-chow. That's his slogan. My niece loved that. She'll just be walking around past the living room and looked at me and
goes, they don't make cartoons like that. Or maybe they do. I just don't see them, but
it's Pixar.
That's a classic.
Pixar is classic. Maybe one day your book will turn into a Pixar movie. Who knows?
Never know. Never say never. That's true.
Maybe if I get my 140,000 followers back, I can promote it and get it.
Listen, Anib, you gotta let it go, man. Just gotta let it go.
It hurts so much.
Now, Jazz, do you watch Abbott Elementary or no? Not to call you out, but I'm going to call you out a little.
No.
Okay.
Jazz doesn't even watch The Bachelor, and he's on every single episode.
I don't watch The Bachelor either. I'm okay with that.
That's true. Oh, by the way, Bachelors is on 2 days this week, on Monday and Tuesday. So our podcast for The Bachelor will be on Monday. And we will have a special guest on later in the week. From this season of The Bachelor.
It's not me.
No, it's not you.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good thing. Wait, did the Golden Bachelor, was that what it was called?
That already happened.
What happened with him?
He got married. He got with the girl.
That's
he got married.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then some stuff came out about him, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, he was kind of grimy, it turns out. But we'll see. Allegedly. We don't know.
That's kind of the formula for these things, isn't it?
I know. It kind of is.
Always.
Kind of is. I don't know.
That's what I thought.
Well, listen, if I'm ever on a reality show and stuff comes out about me, it's all fake. It's all fake.
Insert crickets.
My enemies are trying to get me, a.k.a. Tinder Swindler.
I will run a Super Bowl ad for you.
Yeah. Oh, man.
What are you hinting at, Neebs?
Someone just said you can probably get your book turned into a Disney short. Whoa, that's cool.
That's probably
so cool. How? Tell me more.
You sound like Grease. Tell me more.
That is a great movie.
That is true. All right. With that being said, guys, thank you for joining us. And until next time, Salam, nerds.
Bye.